Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network. I am your host, M.H. Scott, and folks, today we're going to have to open up the doors on the conversation that many of you may not be comfortable with. But I hope, I really and truly hope, by the end of this show, this conversation would have resonated with you so deeply that now you're ready to engage this conversation with anyone at any time. Again, this is M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network show. And folks, hey, we got to figure this thing out. We got to figure this thing out because we got to be able to unpack some things, open up some doors, and make some things really and truly happen within our community. Because if we don't do it, then who's going to do it? We can't rely on anyone else to do it for us. So as a result, we have to be the ones that will initiate this action. And in initiating this action, is it going to be an action that's going to require some tough times? It's going to be an action that's going to require some courageous conversations. But again, folks, we have to be the ones that's going to do it. Because if we don't do it, we can't expect anyone else to do it for us. So as a result, hey, it is what it is. We got to get down to it, and we got to be able to open those doors and start that conversation. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about the topic of mental health and social justice. Now, I just had this very same conversation on another platform just yesterday, and it drew some very interesting dialogue. Folks was ready to dig into it. So I'm hoping that I'm going to get that same type of energy, that same type of presence, and that same bit of curiosity to open up some doors and say, hey, you got something here. We need to talk about it. We need to address it, and we need to put it on the front burner. Because, if we don't, who will? If we don't, then who will? Folks, like I said, we're going to talk about mental health and social justice. But before, you know, we go too deep into it, you know, I got to rattle off my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Give it to us one time, Keith.
A student of
of the game. Had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the form, I'm out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
My man Keith Wright, he said he's making smart, cool. That's how he do. And hey, I appreciate it each and every time I hear that conversation come from Keith. Because I think Keith done locked on to something that I really and truly know. It's an important statement that we all should be echoing. We all should be echoing this statement. Because if we don't echo this statement, again, that goes back to what I said a few seconds ago. If we don't echo it, then who will? Who will? You know? Oh, like I said, I want to talk about mental health and social justice. You know, this is a conversation that needs to get started. This is a conversation that should have taken place long, 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 long time ago. But for whatever reason, it hasn't. So, you know, hey, what is a better time to start it other than now? You hear me? You know, and that's what I'm talking about. Because as I think about this particular conversation, I think about what we just went through in the pandemic, or during the time of the pandemic. I shouldn't say in the pandemic, because other than what some folks may say, the pandemic is still going on. You know, although we've relaxed this and relaxed that, and we've dropped our guard here, we've dropped our guard there, the pandemic is still here, is still in our face, and is still pretty relevant to our success. And I have to put that out there because we are quickly trying to dismiss this thing, and we are quickly trying to go somewhere where I don't think we need to go. Because if we decide to make that trip or take that step and go in that direction, we're going back to business as usual. Well, somebody may say business as usual, that's a good thing. Is it? Is it really a good thing? Because business as usual means let's ignore the injustices that we experience. Let's ignore the mental health issues that's plaguing our community. Let's ignore all the other things that we need to address here and now. If we go to business as usual, then that's what's going to happen. We're going to drop our guard. We're going to say, okay, hey, you know, here we are. Let's go ahead and dig into it. And next thing you know, what we're doing, we business as usual. Business as usual. And that's not a good thing. That's something that that we really and truly need to address. And need to say, hey, enough is enough, and we need to step up and make some changes. Because business as usual is not the direction that we want to step in. It is not where we want to be. So let's talk about this issue of social justice and mental health. Social justice and mental health. You know, as we think about the mental health side of it, or just the conversation around mental health. You know, oftentimes when we hear the word mental health, we're looking at, oh, well, what does that mean? Well, somebody may have a medical condition, and that's what we look at, and that's what we focus on, and that's where we place our emphasis, on someone having a medical condition. No, 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 no. Just having a medical condition doesn't necessarily mean that that is the only thing that we're talking about as far as social health is concerned. When we talk about, when we talk about mental health, I said social health, when we talk about mental health, we're talking about any of those traumatic experiences that you may have had. Mental health or mental health issues could be something as simple as, you know, you being lost your job during the pandemic. How do you recover? A mental health issue could be something as simple as, hey, you know, you have a loved one that's now incarcerated. And you're looking at this from the perspective of, okay, how do I get through this? How do I help my loved one deal with this particular situation? So a mental health issue can be a number of things, folks. A mental health issue could be something as minor as losing a job and as major as a realistic in your face, a situation of disability. Take that into consideration. Take that serious. Put that on the front burner, and let's move forward with it. You know, I was listening to a similar talk show this morning. Coach Rick Wolf, and Rick was talking about something of importance. He was talking about this situation where you have transgender athletes stepping into the high school scene. Now, some of us may look at that and you know, very quickly dismiss that. Or some of us may look at it and say, well, okay, hey, it is what it is. I understand that. Let's look at the mental health perspective on what is our child faced with? Our child that's an athlete. Let's give it the example of the two young men that decided to identify as girls up in Connecticut and run track a couple years ago. They ran track a couple years ago. They were on the high school track team and had a winning record. Now, here's my question. Your daughter had been working hard, putting in numerous hours of training and everything that she can possibly do to be successful in her sport, whether or not she was running the 100, 200, 400, 800, 16, whatever. But she put everything she had into to being successful in her sport. And as a result, now all of a sudden, you got two students that now identify themselves as female, decide to join the team, participate, and now you have a situation where this child is now on the track team. And this child has now taken your child's spot as far as being competitive or being, you know, on the high side of the team. because now you have basically, realistically, in all actuality, you have a young man, because the child was born as a young man, has went through those stages of puberty and the whole works and testosterone and all that stuff running through your body. So now you're out there and you're competing with the girls' program. Do you think that you may be a little faster, a little stronger? You think that you may be just a notch above everybody else? You know, hey, this is really and truly something else, because this is something that needs to be addressed. But those two young men, there was actually two of them out of Connecticut, joined the track team, and they actually went on to compete and held some state records, you think? So there was a lawsuit of some of the girls that competed against them and decided that, hey, this is not fair, you know. So the lawsuit went into the court. Court decided that, hey, we ain't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. You know how they're going to do the thing that's politically correct. So they didn't want to touch the thing that, you know, they didn't want to touch this situation. So as a result, they waited just as long, held off, until those two young men have graduated and now are off and gone. So the judge said, well, this is no longer the case. So as a result, we're going to push this to the side. If it happens again, then we'll bring it back up and we'll readdress it. Wow. If that's not a mental health issue, then what is? What is the psyche on those young ladies that took the time to participate in their sport and was basically upstaged because of the simple fact that now you have two young men that stepped into the scene, or young men, formerly young men that now identify as girls, have stepped into the scene and have upstaged your child. My question to that is, does that affect, or would that have affected a potential scholarship for your child? And if so, what's your thoughts on it? And when I say what's your thoughts on it, that means give us a call. Join the conversation today at 516-453-9932. Let me hit you one more time with that number. 516-453-9932. Join the conversation. I know you got something that you may want to add to this conversation. And if you got something that you want to add to this conversation, by all means, we welcome your thoughts, because you may bring something to the table that, hey, we may not have thought about. You may bring something to the table that may have just escaped us, may have just been overlooked. Well, if that wasn't enough, then let's look at this situation. You have a young lady down in Texas that now has identified as a boy. And now she wants to do what? She wants to join the wrestling team. So as a result, she joins the wrestling team. She qualifies, she joins the wrestling team. She has some level of success on the wrestling team. And now she is a qualified wrestler. Should she be identified, you know, hey, well, she has been identified as a boy, but should she be able to fully compete against the boys? And if she's out there competing against the boys, then where does that leave her as far as, you know, the situation that she's in, as far as if she's out there for the purpose of trying to obtain a scholarship in wrestling, is that fair to, you know, other young folks that's out there? We have two distinct cases. You have one coming out of Connecticut, and you have another one coming out of Texas. So it is not isolated to a particular area. And I say that, and I share that with you folks, because I just wanted to let you know that this is not something that is universal across the board. For the most part, this is a case-by-case situation, state-by-state situation. All states don't necessarily support students that want to, at whatever particular time, identify themselves as another sex. So with that being the case, where are we today? Join the conversation, 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. I'm talking about mental health and social justice. Now, in that particular situation, the two examples that I just gave you, that's a mental health issue. That's a mental health issue. Not to say that the students wanting to identify themselves as another sex, that's something all in itself. My point is, they're competitors. They're peers, folks that have to interact with them or compete against them. What is running through that student's head, that child's head, your child's head, if your child is in that situation? That's where my question comes in, folks. Mental health and social justice. No, a question came up as we're talking about this here issue of students wanting to identify as the opposite sex. A question came up. Let's look at the world record holder of the 100-meter dash for women. Who is that? Somebody tell me. Come on, make these phone lines ring. Give me that answer. The world record holder for 100-meter dash in women's. Come on now. I know one of you out there got the answer to this question. Okay, since you don't have the answer, I'm going to give it to you. Florence Griffin Joyner, a.k.a. better known as Flo Jo, the world record holder. Now, Flo Jo has held this world record in the 100-meter dash for years. For years. Flo Jo is a fully grown adult woman, or was before she passed away. But do you know that there are 76 high school boys that has ran faster times than Flo Jo's time? 76 high school boys that have ran faster times than Flo Jo's time, the world record holder in the 100-meter dash. So, what if one of those boys decided to identify as a young lady, and now he's running in his high school program? Or excuse me, she's running in the high school program. And she breaks the world record of Flo Jo's time. Should that record stand? Should her opponents feel challenged by that? What will be their mental psyche in a situation like this? Again, folks, we're talking about this issue of mental health and social justice. You know, I had the opportunity here recently to be on a or sit in and listen to a forum where the National Football League's Players Association put together this forum. And they addressed the very same topic, mental health and social justice. And it was some very good dialogue that came out of this conversation. But this is an ongoing conversation. So I need you to put your eyes and ears on, folks. And if you see it pop up and you want to become a part of it, want to join in on it, hey, I welcome you to the table. If I hear about it, definitely, you know I'm going to share it. Because the more informed that you are, the more better I feel about myself as far as being a disseminator of information, sharing what I have learned and are currently learning with others that may not have those opportunities. Or should I say, or could I say, less fortunate. And only saying less fortunate in the sense of because you don't have access. Not saying less fortunate, saying that you are beneath me in any status. You just don't have the access. And if I have the access, I'm going to provide it and share it with you. But while sitting in this conversation with the National Football League's Players Association, NFLPA, there were some great points brought up as far as mental health and social justice. Looking at it from a standpoint of a collegiate athlete or a professional athlete, looking at it from the standpoint of a collegiate athlete first, you know, a collegiate athlete is looking and noticing that in many cases, on an average, 75%, 75 to 85% of the team may be young men of color, African-American men, looking at a football program, looking at a basketball program. 75 to 80% of the team may be African-American men. Now, you may be part of the fortunate group that also has an African-American coach. And why is this an issue? Why is this a topic? Why is this a conversation? Because as I talk about football and basketball, we have to, without a doubt, unquestionably, recognize them too as the major revenue sports in the college landscape. Major revenue sports in the college landscape. So let's not just simply say, okay, well, so what? No, they're bringing in big money to college programs. Now, like I was saying, you may have the opportunity of having a black coach. You may even have a black athletic director, but the higher you go up the food chain, that may not be the case. And especially once we flip the script and now we're talking about the professional ranks. You look at a professional team in the NBA. How many black owners do you have? But now we've had Grant Hill has joined the ranks of the Atlanta Hawks. And Dwayne Wade has now joined, I believe it's the Timberwolves. Or the Kings, one of the two. So now, yeah. But you flip that over to the other side, to the NFL, another big money maker. How many black owners do you have? Zero. How many GMs do you have? I bet you that percentage, if it exists, is in the single digits. out of the 32 teams, it's in the single digits. Coaches, head coaches are in the single digits out of 32 teams. But you have 75% of the players out there on the field on any given Sunday afternoon or evening, African American. Yes, we have the Rooney Rule, and we have a few other rules out there that, you know, that try to justify some of these things. Is that enough? Is that enough? You know, I'm talking about social justice and mental health, but we could go on and on and on and on and on about this particular conversation. You know, you look at issues coming out of HBCUs. The same thing there. If you look at PWI, predominantly white institutions, the majority of them have at least a decent television contract. Does HBCU have a decent television contract? Look at all the major conferences. Every single one of the major conferences have a television contract. Is that the same thing for an HBCU? How can we change that dynamic? 2020 may have been the time of the pandemic, but I say it's the time for the paradigm shift. Let's step into a new era of life. Let's make some things happen within our community so now we're able to work with and through each other and change the overall landscape of what we have identified as college sports. I got a call on the line. Let's see if the caller want to join in on the conversation or just in for the listen.
This is Curtis Simons.
Hey,
can
what's
you hear
going
me?
On,
Curtis
brother?
Simons. I'm doing good,
can hear
man. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, I'm the president of HBCU Go TV. And I apologize. I was supposed to call a few minutes ago. I let some time slap on me. I appreciate it. But I agree with you 100%. HBCU Go TV is a new digital channel that is going to be out there giving exposure for historical black colleges all the way around, from television to knowledge to everything you can think about in ways that you're talking about. And I totally agree with you on what you're saying, because the goal of HBCU Go TV is to begin to start exposing these college football, black college football, in a way that has never been done before. And right now, carrying on Roku, we're on Amazon Fire Stick, we'll be on Apple TV within the next couple of weeks. And it's all about now making the HBCU universities understand that they don't have to just the ESPN, which if you look at their ESPN deal, you know, they're really not getting as what they really think they're getting, because of the fact that they don't really get – it's only, number one, you have 105 universities, and ESPN does like 30 games. So there's exposure, there's ways in which to do more games, and that's what we need to be doing, to help show that there's a lot more out there to offer in all the games that are going on. And I agree with you. It also needs to be spread out in a way that, you know, they need to get – more exposure with maybe another contract that gives them a little bit more. You know, the question I've always asked is, you know, you have the ACC channel, you have the Big Ten channel, and so HBCU Go plans to be that channel for HBCUs, you know. But the thing is that we also got to get the public support behind us to really start stepping up and saying this is something that we want to have. You know, so I agree with you wholeheartedly on the exposure piece that you're talking about, you know.
Well, you know, and you came right on in at the right time, Kirsten. I appreciate you joining the conversation today, because,
no problem.
Brother, it's been a long time since we had a chance to talk. And I know
it's
that
been
you have
a long
time
since we've had talk. Yeah, so I appreciate
that.
That's
it. And I know that you have some dynamic things that you always have in the works, to change the overall landscape of what's going on at our HBCUs. And no we question. Talked about this better part of, man, I'd say, what, it was about 10 years ago or longer?
It's been at least 10 years back, for sure, that we've talked about this, that it should be happening.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know, so as we think about this and we look at this overall picture, and as you talk about HBCU Go TV, identify some of the things that you're going to put on this here platform. You know, is it going to be similar to what we may find on a Netflix or ESPN, or is it going to have also movies? Is it going to have documentaries? Is it also going to have the sports side of things? What else is going to be on this HBCU Go TV?
I mean, this is going to be a full gamut type channel that you'll be able to see sports, lifestyle programming, educational programming, comedy, movies. I mean, the thing that we want to do with the network is expose some of this great talent that sits within HBCUs. Just last week, we did, last Thursday, we did a big cinema show with Morehouse University, you know, on all the, they have students that are doing some great short-form movies that we featured on the network. And so the whole concept is to begin to try to, you know, really show this great talent that's available out there, from the arts to the theaters, you know, from the educational side, doing as much as we can to give us a full plethora of all of what's going on the HBCU side, not just sports. I mean, sports is the driving nail, because everybody knows Black College Sports is basically what everybody's really watched HBCUs about. But what we want to try to do is educate more people on the total package. There's a lot more to offer out there in the HBCU circle other than just sports. And that's true. And that's some of the features that we plan to bring with HBCU Go TV. For example, we're looking to do a show very similar. We have a show on right now called What's Next with Charlie Neal. Charlie Neal used to be one of the big sports announcers for BET, and you know my life at BET. I did 14 years over there. And Charlie's show is centered around interviewing folks that are either from an HBCU, doing something in the HBCU circle, or politicians, educators, all trying to make a difference in that HBCU world. You know, and we've had some great, great people so far that we put on. We're also working already with Tennessee State University, and we put together what we call a master class, where we're now featuring prominent speakers like Jermaine Dupri. We had James Brown on from CBS, you know, to talk to these students about how they got there. You know, because one other thing that a lot of the HBCUs don't do enough of is expose our students to the path of what their opportunities are. And they don't know where to go. So that's one of the things that HBCU Go is going to try to provide, is some pathways to help our students become better once they graduate, even during their time in school, in the internships, try to put them in places where they have an opportunity to grow. So when they do come out, there's opportunities in the street.
Now, based on what you're saying, and I'm all on board with it, you know, how could a current college student get involved with, with HBCU Go TV?
The network is really devised to have the students really program the network. I mean, one of the things that let me kind of give you the format idea of what we're trying to do here. You know, we're trying to get all the 105 universities to help us create content for the university, so that these students, when they come out, they've had the experience coming through HBCU Go to be able to maybe go another way and work at different places. You know, so we're going to open that door to the opportunity to work with the networks, but network through the universities, and hopefully try to grow students as we go.
Right. That sounds powerful. Sounds powerful. That sounds like a definitely win-win situation. And you know, I always got to take the conversation to a different level and sometime another direction. How could, you know, the average person that's a supporter of, you know, various works within our community become an investor or get involved in donating to HBCU Go?
Well, that door is always open. All they need to do is reach out to me. And we're always looking to try to have people be a part of the network and see how it all works. So that door would be open, you know, for them to talk to me about that and see how we could open up doors to work together. I mean, the goal of the network is to try to have the one big goal for me is to show white America that black people can work together. I'm tired of hearing stories
exactly.
that we can't work together, you know, and my process for HBCU Go is to show people that we can work together, you know, and try to, you know, build a network that's for the people, about the people. You know, I think one of the mistakes that we made early on at BT is that, you know, when I was there, is we forgot about the people somewhat and just kind of just started mm-hmm. focusing on, you know, the television side, you know, and just, you know, that part of it. Well, what we want to try to do is make people understand that this network is all about educating, you know, our people and open up doors, you know, because we haven't had the doors open. You know, for example, you know, you look at, you know, what recently just happened in the NBA where Bobby Dandridge and Ben Wallace are going to the Hall of Fame next year, Nathan Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Well, you know, no one's really done anything about any stories or anything about these guys. And Bobby Dandridge, for example, which is a good friend of mine, you know, in the 70s, for example, he was one of the best basketball players in the NBA. But little do
yes,
people
sir.
Know that he came out of Little Norfolk University.
Exactly.
And what he did
exactly.
there. And what he did there. You know, and those are the kind of stories that are missing, you know, when you look at it out there. And so, you know, then you have professional people out there that I've come across over the last several months who have some incredible stories. Again, HBCUs, folks, where people don't know much about the stories. You know, so we definitely want to highlight as much as that as possible, you know, to show people that, you know, this is what's going on in the HBCU circle. Because you have a lot. And then the most powerful thing that happened is you've got now the Vice President of the United States, a Howard grad. So that should tell you something right there. That
That's
should
right.
tell you something right there. If you're the Vice President in the big house and you don't think HBCUs are valuable, well, you've really lost your sense of pride at the end of the day.
That's so true. That is so true. You know, I'm gonna share this with you. And I remember a few years back, you came down and you spoke at Norfolk State. You was on a panel at Norfolk State, and
oh,
you
yeah,
were talking
yeah,
about
yeah, uh-huh. right.
putting something together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a chance to look at a documentary that a young man that I once coached in track, he's now
mm-hmm.
in the film business. And this boy, he done put something together that I was impressed by. And I actually...
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, you know, I'm not no young guy, so I'm not in for all this old young stuff or whatever they're doing
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, we both did.
Going.
We both did on that one. Right.
You got to have some substance to catch my attention. You got
right.
to have something that's going to draw me in to have me sit and watch. I watched this whole entire documentary that he put together, and I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed.
Yep.
I said, man, I said, hey, it's stuff like this that's overlooked. Because I know
Got
he
it.
Was probably trying to submit it to somebody or get somebody to take a look at it or give him a good review
right.
or whatever, but couldn't get
right.
that door open because, you know, because he was a young black man, you know, and to look at him from a just a regular standpoint, you seen him walking down the street, somebody would label him as a thug. But
yep.
this boy is by no means a thug. That's just his...
Yep.
His attire, just what he just feels comfortable
yeah.
in.
Exactly.
But smart
exactly.
is all outside. Yes, sir. So,
but you're right to the point. See, I mean, that's the whole thing. because I had experience, very similar experience, when I was down in Tennessee State. I was speaking to a journalism class, and I was watching this young brother, like, drawing the whole time I was talking. And come to find out at the end of the night, I had the question. I said, young man, I have to ask you a question. I've been watching you draw the whole night. He said, Coach, I'm in animation. He said, I was drawing you the whole time and kind of making a movie out of on paper.
Wow.
He showed me what he did. It was incredible. I said, wow. It was flat out incredible. You know, and that shows you right there the talent level that's out there. It's incredible talent level. You know, and we have to inspire. But see, we need to inspire our young people, and it goes to also, we need to inspire these middle class black parents on understanding that you need to send your son or daughter to an HBCU. Why are you wasting all your money thinking that just because you go to PWI, your son or daughter, if they go to HBCU, can't get a good job? And I tell people all the time.
Because that's what they've been conditioned to think. That's what they've been conditioned to think.
All the way. And I tell people all the time, I'm a PE major for Central State University, 3,000 students, and I'm getting ready to walk into the biggest Hall of Fame in the media business in 4 months. You know, so PE major? Come on, man.
They don't understand. They don't understand it at all. That goes back to something that I put together, and matter of fact, I actually titled my book under that same name. You don't know what you don't know.
True.
You don't know what you don't know.
True.
And we walk around here blind, and if we don't have access to folks like you, or we don't sit down and try to open doors to other avenues, and we stay in that same hamster wheel that we've been rolling around in all our lives, then we stuck.
You got it. And you're right. And what we've got to do, the bigger problem that we've got to work on is we've got to work on this path to start early to get our people understand the middle schools to the high schools, not just waiting until a kid gets in high school. We got to start bringing programs in these middle schools to help our young people understand the value of what these schools bring to the table at the end of the day, and then educate more people on why it's important.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was just talking to our I work at Norfolk Public School System, and I was talking to our media specialist in the school that I'm at. And right. I said, I know folks that have been involved in media production, because she just put together a media production class, and she's trying to just show the kids, get the kids an interest in putting together. You know, they've had a chance to do a live Zoom session with the radio station over there at Norfolk State. And I said, hey, I said, I would be interested in reaching out to some of the folks that I know and have them come in and just talk to your students and just give them some insight
for
moving forward. You know, because these kids have no problem with putting together a video. They'll put together a video in the drop of a hat and be creative and all outdoors.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right, because now,
No, what I was going to say is, you know, they're able to put together those videos, and just imagine if somebody harnessed that energy, took that talent, and started working on perfecting it. Man, we'll come out with some diamonds for sure.
Hey, no question. When you think about it today, the thing that's so crazy today is, these phones are so good in quality. You can create a movie off your phone.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they're just that good. And these kids live on our kids today live on technology. I told a group of people the other day, I said, listen, if you had a 7-year-old African-American kid going against a 7-year-old white kid with a video game, they would beat him all day long. Because we are video conscious. We are all about, you show it to me, I can do it right there. But now you reverse that and put a book in front of them and say, who can read the best out of the black kid? Well, we don't start that early because, you know, we're late on that game, which we need to be earlier on that game.
Yes.
You know, and making our young kids read better, but we don't because they're caught up on the video games. You know,
and it's
an amazing thing.
It's interesting that you say that point, because I was just talking to a parent just the other day, and I said, you know, you buy your child a brand new phone. Within 10 minutes, that child may have never seen that phone before. Within 10 minutes, that child will operate that phone, know every function, and haven't read a lick of the instructions.
Ain't no question. Ain't no question.
Yep.
Ain't no question. There's no parent today. If you got a phone problem, you're going to your kids, man. they can tell you everything. They can tell you everything. Down the computer. You know, they'll tell you everything you can do off of them. You know? And we're so old school, you know, we're still saying, oh, shoot, let's try to figure this out. You know?
Nah. I pick up the phone and call mine quick. I'm having problems here.
Exactly.
And I got tired of calling them because the first thing them jokers tell me, well, Dad, you got to get rid of that phone that you got. You need to get you an iPhone. You need to get that. Man, I'm good with this one right here. This Samsung Galaxy working just fine. You know, no, you need to get your iPhone. Now, I'm okay. Because it took them a minute to get the flip phone out my hand. But, hey. Once it got out my hand and I realized what I could do with one of these Samsung, I'm good to go.
We're
down to about the last 5 minutes of the show here. So give us some more insight. Hey, give us some more insight on how we can, turn that TV on and find something that's going on HBCU Go TV.
Well, we got a nice little line of things just you know, put in the, you know, the carpet that we're doing a little different. Coming in the summer, we're going to be working with a group out of LA that's got a STEM project that we're going to be working with. We have a show on the network called Color of STEM and really highlighting technology to the young people. It's one of the things that we really wanted to button up in the fall, coming up in the fall. Or rather, August, rather, we're coming out of our box a little bit, and we're hooking up with a young black brother out of Chicago, Kamal Murray, who was the the manager for Sloane Stephens, the tennis player, and he's built his own tennis complex in Chicago. So he's got 3 tennis events that he's going to allow us to stream on HBCU Go, which I think is going to be outstanding. And 1 week, we're concentrating on doing an HBCU day where we're bringing in HBCU coaches, tennis coaches, to try to expose them to some of the talent around the area that's doing HBCU stuff, or playing tennis, rather. You know, and then we have on the books in December, we're doing our first HBCU football classic, not classic, going to be an all-star game, rather, in Selma, Alabama, called the Pigskin Showdown. Which I think is going to be outrageous, because it takes it's just part of that play where, you know, last year we had no NFL players drafted in the draft, which was the most embarrassing thing, you know, because if you go to the Hall of Fame today, you know, the group that leads the players, black players, is out of HBCUs.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? And how do you not have one player, you know, out of 105 schools, you can't get one player that couldn't get in the draft. I don't care if it's 6th, 7th, 8th, you know, round. One player?
Yeah.
I don't get that one. I don't get that one.
Yeah.
I don't get that one. you know. So we're going to try to help give that exposure, and, you know, we're also working with the NFL, hopefully, to try to do something with them, you know, in 2022. So we're getting some great partnerships coming together, and I think that, you know, the one thing I would ask for the audience that are listening to you is just, you know, keep an eye on us and support us. You know, we need more people watching the network. You know, we need more people giving us opinions. You know, they can go to my website, which is hbcugo.tv, and give me an opinion of what you think, you know. Because we're always trying to figure out how do we get better. That's the key. And we're also open for criticism. You know, no one's doing anything correctly. You know, you always could use a helping hand.
Exactly. Well, hey, brother, I appreciate you joining us today, man. And, hey,
always.
No problem.
I apologize calling in late, but I appreciate you taking my call.
Man, I know you're a busy man, brother. I know you're a busy man. I know you weren't going to shortchange me. And I appreciate you coming on and just sharing the insight of this phenomenal transformation that we're about to go into, this shift that we got about
to
take when HBCU is going. That's right. You know, and as you just said something about the NFL, and that made me curious. You know, there was a brother in law, we were just talking last week, and I said, well, you know, the HBCU players don't get the same looks that some of these other boys get. You know, I wonder if they did instead of doing this one big major combine, if they did like one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and, you know, somewhere in the Midwest, or at least two on the East Coast, two on the West Coast, and couple of them in the Midwest, you know, them combines for the football, I bet you, and you have to be just like you do with the event that they have for the NBA. You have to be invited. And if you're not invited, then somebody can hopefully talk your way, get you in there or whatever, and get you a couple looks, you know, because I think that day has to come. That day
has
to come.
It has to come.
It can't be
you're
something
exactly
that,
right.
You know, they can't continue to ignore. Yep, that's right.
You know,
but, hey, brother, I appreciate you. I'm going to be posting this on the site about the HBCU Go TV, having folks check it out. You know, hey, I'm going to try to get the word out as much as I can. And one last thing, I may be calling on you to come in and talk to our students, because our school is a STEM school. Our school is
We'd
a STEM school.
It.
So we need as much as we can get.
I would love for you to have me come in and where I can spend some time with your students and educate them on why I need Norfolk State, because I don't have Norfolk State yet working with me on the network, but I need the students to get, you know, we're trying to go university, so put that word out, because we need Norfolk State to be, you know, working with us on the content. So we need that help. So I'm welcome anytime to talk to them.
Yes, sir. Will do. Hey, we appreciate you. Have a great day.
You say, take care, man.
All right. Folks, we had the opportunity to have, hey, HBCU Go man himself, Mr. Curtis Simons, and Curtis came on and just shared with us, you know, just something that's so vitally important. And we started out talking about the mental health and social justice, but think about how all that ties into mental health and social justice and how that can change the whole dynamics of our students in their current settings in various colleges. Folks, this has been M.A. Scott, the host of the Parents Coaching Parents Network, and hopefully I've said something, you said something, or you heard something that's going to have you thinking slightly different moving forward. On that note, hey, you have a great weekend. Keith, take us out.